They say, when you go to work, and it's a shame that on Sunday, but your guy at, was it Andrew? Keenan. Okay. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise this morning. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Habakkuk, the little three-chapter book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Go to the book of Matthew at the beginning of the New Testament, make a left, and just find the little book of Habakkuk as we conclude just a short series that we began Easter Sunday and over last week and this week as we just conclude this short three-part series entitled Embracing Life Again. Say that with me, embracing life again. How many know God wants us to embrace life to the fullest? And there are times when life knocks us back, but God wants us, even as the resurrection teaches us, to embrace life again. The book of Habakkuk, the third chapter, we began with our text in the end of the third chapter. Follow along in your Bible, on your phone, your tablet, or just follow along on the screen. The prophet Habakkuk says in the third chapter in verse 17, he says, although, everybody say although. Say although. He says, although the fig tree doesn't blossom, although the fruit is no longer on the vine, although the crop, the olive crop has failed, although the field shall yield no food, although the flocks have been cut off, although the herds are in the stalls. How many know that's a lot of all those? But notice this. Notice this. It doesn't end with the all those. Notice what he says. He says yet. Everybody say yet. Yes. Aren't you glad for the yet? Yet I will. Say I will. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will. Say I will. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for he will, say he will. He will make my feet like hinds or deer feet, and he will, say he will, make me to walk on the high places again. Say although, say yet, say I will, say he will. Those are the key phrases that the prophet gives us to embrace life again. You see, the name Habakkuk means to embrace. It means to grab hold of by faith. And what the prophet is saying is that although all these things are happening, by faith I'm going to grab hold of God's life and strength and joy in my life. Can I ask you a question this morning? Don't raise your hand. How many are going through an although situation or season in your life? You don't have to raise your hand, because we all go through them. Every one of us knows what it is to go through an although season or an although situation. A situation where we feel like there's no hope. We feel like there's no joy, there's no resources, there's no strength, there's no peace, there's no life. Every one of us has faced adversity and difficulty in life. And someone maybe in the midst, someone smarter and wiser than I said, either in the middle of a problem, just coming out of a problem, or about to go into a problem. And that's true of life. We find ourselves in the although experiences of life. But how many are also glad and know that while there are although experiences, how many are glad there can be yet experiences? There can be the but God experiences. There can be I will rejoice and God will raise me up. God will make my feet like hinds feet. There is the although, but there is the yet I will. And today, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the tomb is empty, because he is alive, we can live also. And we can experience resurrection life. We can experience new beginnings. We can experience new joy, new peace, new hope, new strength. We can experience and embrace life again. Even though the all those, yet we can rise above in the name of Jesus. How many are glad for that this morning? Come on, let's give the Lord praise for that this morning. Now, we told you that the Habakkuk, there are three chapters. And the three chapters give us three principles. We began Easter Sunday just 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the chapter one. We looked at Habakkuk's passion. We looked at Habakkuk's passion. And we looked at the fact that Habakkuk, the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 1, the burden, the strong inner urges and desires and passions the prophet did see. There were things that troubled him and upset him, and there were things that he was passionate about and things that stirred up the emotions within his heart, the although experiences of life. And we told you that the first principle for embracing life again is we need to ignite a new passion. We need to strike a new match. We need to ignite a new passion. Today, if we're in one of those all those seasons and we want to embrace life again and we want to experience God's resurrection in our life, we need to ignite a new passion. And we talked about that Easter Sunday. And if you missed that, that's available not only on CD, but you can go to the website and listen to the podcast. But last week, we talked about the second chapter, chapter 2 of Habakkuk, where we looked at Habakkuk's vision. While there is the although, chapter 2 talks about the yet. It talks about the yet. God said to Habakkuk, go up onto the tower and look out and see what I will say to you. And he told him, even as Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 tells us, he went to set his watch and to see the vision that the Lord would give him. He told him, write the vision down and that he would be able to run with it. And he told him, the vision is for an appointed time. And though it tarries, and sometimes God's promises and God's situation do tarry, but if we will wait for it and we will trust him, it will come to pass, for the just shall live by faith. And we told you based on last week for chapter 2 that the second principle for experiencing and embracing life again is not only do we need to ignite a new passion, but secondly, we need to develop a new vision. We need to spend some time with God, and we need to learn how to get into his word and begin to let God begin to speak to us and show us what he has for us. And then to write down the thoughts and the vision and the ideas he gives us, and then to wait for his promises to come and then to walk them out by faith. We looked at that last week. If you missed that, please get that message as well. Because this morning I want to move to the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk, and I want to tie a ribbon around this short three-part series. And this morning we want to look at chapter 3, and we're going to look at Habakkuk's decision. Habakkuk's passion, chapter 1, although. Habakkuk's vision, yet. And then Habakkuk's decision, I will. I will. The third thing that we need today is not only, is as we look at chapter 3, it says a prayer Habakkuk chose to set to enthusiastic music. Now, if you have a King James Bible, you're going to see this, you're going to see this Hebrew word that I'm not going to pronounce, but it's spelled out up on the screen there for you. You're going to see that word, and what that means, it means to set to enthusiastic music. What's amazing is Habakkuk begins the book crying out to God, how long and why? And he ends the chapter and he ends his book with an enthusiastic song of praise. How many know God wants to turn our emotions and our passions and our frustrations into songs of praise? Look at what it says, the prayer of Habakkuk that he chose to set to music. How many know God wants to give us a song in our heart? He wants to give us a song in the night season. And my prayer today is that if we will make the right decisions like Habakkuk did, he will put a new song in our heart. And we will rise up with a new tune and a new tone to our life. He says, O Lord, I have heard thy voice with reverence. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the year in wrath. Remember mercy. Habakkuk's decision. And Habakkuk's decision, although, and then he goes on in the latter part of the chapter to say, although all of this is happening, I'm going to sing this new song. I'm going to sing this new prayer of revival. I'm going to set my heart toward enthusiastic music because I will rejoice. That was Habakkuk's decision. I'm not going to wallow in my frustration. I'm not going to wallow in my pain. I'm not going to wallow in all the all those. I'm going to choose to rise up and I'm going to sing a new song. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will find my joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and the Lord will cause my feet to, like hinds' feet, to ride above the high places. This morning, the third thing that we need to embrace life again is not only do we need to ignite a new passion, not only do we need to develop a new vision, but thirdly, we need to make a new decision. How many know today's the day of decision? You made a decision to be here today. That was an important decision. And I don't believe it's a coincidence or an accident. I believe God wants us to make an important decision today. And how many know our decisions determine the direction and the destiny of our life? Every time we make a choice, every time we make a decision on how we are going to handle life's all those, how we are going to handle life's adversities, every time we make a decision, it will impact and it will set the tune and the tone for our entire life. Habakkuk's decision is, I will rejoice. I will sing a new song. I will rise up in the strength of the Lord. There's a story about a man, an elderly man, who laid dying in his bed. But one morning, death's agony was suddenly pushed aside as he could smell this aroma coming up the steps. An aroma of his favorite homemade chocolate chip cookies. There, lying, dying in bed with this aroma filling the room, he made a decision. With all the strength he could muster, he picked himself up from the bed. He leaned against the wall and felt his way to the door. Gasping for breath and strength, he managed to get down the steps as he held on to the railing with all of his might. He managed to work his way all the way to the kitchen, holding on to the door frame. And there, as he peered into the kitchen, he saw spread out all over the kitchen table literally hundreds of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Was it heaven? Or was it just the heroic final act of a devoted wife who wanted to send him off as a happy man? Mustering up one great final effort, he threw himself toward the table. He landed on the floor on his knees, and in his rumpled posture, he reached up on top of the table to grab one of the cookies. He could feel the soft warmth of a freshly baked cookie in his hand. His lips were parched and ready to embrace this wonderful cookie. He took it. And as he took a bite of the cookie, it was almost like for a moment he forgot he was dying. And then as he reached for the second cookie, something reached down and smacked his hand. He looked up and he saw his wife standing over him with a spatula and said, "Stay away from the cookies, they're for your funeral." Here's my question. Here's the point. We should have had chocolate chip cookies for everybody this morning, shouldn't we? Because some of you are going, man, I'd like one of them. Here's this question. What will we do, or what decision will we make, and what choices will we make to get to the chocolate chip cookies of life? I mean, this man was lying, dying on his bed, but he made a decision. And he made several choices and decisions along the way to get to where he wanted to get. Can I ask you, are you willing to make the decisions necessary? Are you willing to make the choices, the hard choices, the decisions that are necessary to embrace life again? You see, we could just lay back and say, oh, it's no use, and look at how bad it is, and woe is me, and I'll just wallow in the all those, or we could decide, I'm going to start going for the chocolate chip cookies of life. I'm going to embrace life again, spatulas and all. You know what? How many know spatulas are going to come in life and try to keep us, even when we make decisions and we make great efforts to get to the cookies of life? There's going to be adversities, but if we will decide and make the decision, how many know if we will, God will? Come on, say that with me. If I will, God will. Come on, say it again. If I will, God will. Listen, although this is going on, Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice. I'm going to set my life to music instead of singing the same old somebody did me wrong song. I'm going to sing a new song. I will rejoice in the Lord. That's the decision we have to make today. That's the choice God is challenging us with today. Will we make the decision necessary to embrace life again? Decisions determine direction, and direction determines destiny. Let's make the right decision today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to choose to trust the Lord. Today is the day to say, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to rejoice no matter what goes on. And no matter what happened, I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, there are two choices. That's it. We're just going to look at two simple choices that the prophet made. Two choices that he made and that we need to make today in order to embrace life again. Let's look carefully at these verses that we introduced in chapter 3. A prayer Habakkuk chose to set to enthusiastic music. O Lord, I have heard thy voice. Say voice. I have heard thy voice with reverence. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Even in wrath, God, remember mercy. Let me say something important to us. When the prophet stopped listening to the other voices, listen to me, and he heard and trusted and respected the voice of the Lord, that's when his life changed. That's when his song changed. Oh Lord, all of these things are going on. All of the voices are out there. Everybody's telling me I'm no good. Everybody's telling me, look at this terrible world. Everybody's pointing out all the stuff. But yet, Lord, I'm not listening just to those voices. I have heard your voice. And I reverenced it. I've respected it. I've trusted it. Revive. Remember chapter 1 when we did it? The song of Habakkuk in chapter 1 was, O Lord, how long? That was his song. O Lord, why all the injustice? Why do I have to see this? The tune and the song of Habakkuk's life just a short time ago in chapter 1 was, O Lord, how long and why? But in chapter 3, his song changed. His tone changed. His tune changed. Instead of, oh Lord, how long and why? Oh Lord, revive me. Oh Lord, I've heard your voice. Oh Lord, revive me. Oh Lord, remember mercy. Remember me. How many know there was a man named Samson who was a great champion, but then he screwed up. Found himself in a prison, blinded and grinding in the prison. And God gave him one more chance to stand between the pillars of the temple and to be a champion again. And his prayer was, Lord, remember me. And God gave him a victory that day. Hannah was barren and was heard the voices of everybody else telling her she would never have a child. And she cried out to God in the temple. And she prayed, Lord, remember me. And she gave birth to Samuel, who became the prophet of God. There was a thief who hung on one side of Jesus, who mocked him and scoffed him. That was the voice that was heard. But there was a thief on the other side who said to Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, Habakkuk's song changed from, oh Lord, how long? Oh Lord, why? To, oh Lord, revive. Oh Lord, remember me. Listen, if we'll make that choice to change our prayer and to change our song and to change our choice from, oh Lord, how come, and oh Lord, why, which as we talked about in chapter one, is human and okay. But how many know there's got to be a point when we stop singing that song and we start singing, Lord, remember me. Lord, revive me. Oh Lord, I have heard your voice. I don't always agree with everything you tell me, Lord. Oh, come on. How many have ever read something in the Bible you said, I don't exactly like that? We say, ouch, instead of amen. Oh, Lord, I heard your voice, but I reverenced it. I trusted it. I believed in it. Listen, we don't always know what God is saying. We might not always understand what he's doing, but if we will trust him, he can change our song. Listen, here's the first choice that we need to make today. Here's the first decision that we need to make if we're going to embrace life again, is we need to make the voice choice. What do I mean by the voice choice? I want to ask two simple questions. First of all, whose voice are we listening to? Whose voice are we listening to? How many know there are a lot of voices out there telling us what to do? How many know the news tells you what to do? Tells you how to think. They put their panel of experts out there and tell you, oh, you should believe this, and you should think this, and you should. Whose voice are you listening to? We listen to even the commercials are a voice telling us. You know, if you watch enough commercials, and thank God for DVR, and you can zip through them, but if you listen to them, they tell you you got bad breath, you got dandruff in your hair, you got bad underarm, because you need their product. You get insulted all day long. Have you noticed that in the commercials? What voices are we listening to? Are we listening to the voices of people telling us we're no good, we can't amount to anything, nothing's ever going to change? We're going to listen to the voices of people who are going to criticize God and complain about things? What voices are we listening to? There are a lot of voices. And how many know there's basically three voices in life? There's God's voice, there's the enemy's voice, and there's the human voices. And listen, who and what voice we listen to will determine the music of our life. How many know what song we sing will be determined by what voice comes into our heart? How many are old enough to remember clock radios? Those of you that are young, do you wake up with your phones waking up to a music or anything like that, your alarm? Who's young? Where are you young people at? Tolu, is that work? Oh, over here? Is that work like that? Does it do that? Okay, well, when I was young, you didn't have a phone that woke you up. You had a clock radio next to your bed that you had to plug in. Remember when you had to do that stuff? You plugged in your clock. And what would happen is the alarm would go off and it would wake to a song on a radio station. And how many know whatever song I heard in the morning, in 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I found myself humming that same song, whether I liked that song or not. Why? Because it got in my head. It got in my head, and listen to me, the voices that get into your head telling you, oh, woe is you, and you shouldn't like that, and they're bad over there, all a bunch of hypocrites, and you're never going to amount to anything, and you're no good, and God's never going to change it. Listen, if you get that voice in your head, that's going to be the tune that you're going to be in your head all day and all your life. The music in our life, whether we set our life to enthusiastic music of praise or whether we continue to wallow in the tune of woe is me, will be determined by what voices we're listening to. I mean, Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted as an example to us, because we face the same temptations in life. Remember, the tempter's voice came. Oh, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you jump off this thing and nothing will happen to you? Oh, if you're really the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. If you're really the Son of God, just bow down and worship me. How many know Jesus didn't listen to that voice? Jesus chose to respect and to trust and to listen to the voice of God, because he said each time to the enemy, it is written. Your voice tells me this, but the voice of God says this. Whose voice are we listening to? Are we listening to the voice of others? The voice of men? the voice of experts, or are we listening to the voice of the Lord, the voice of God that can change our life? Can I suggest to you, stop listening to those odes of defeat and start listening to the hymns of victory. Start listening to the songs of praise. Start listening to, yes, although, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. How do we hear the voice of God? If we need to listen to the voice of God, how do we hear the voice of God? Let me give you two quick scriptures and two quick thoughts. First of all, 2 Peter 1 says, for the scripture came not by the will of men or by private interpretation, but God spoke to holy men as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, you want to hear the voice of God? Get into the Bible. Get into the Word of God. You see, this book, this is God's voice. This is God's voice. This is God's Word. This is what God says to us. Listen, we may not understand it all. We may not even agree with it all. But how many know if we'll trust it and we'll respect it, and we'll listen to it, it'll change the music of our life. It'll change the song of our heart. The Word of God is the voice of God. The second thing in Hebrews, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:2, in the past God spoke through the prophets, but in these times He speaks to us through His Son. Listen, you want to know what God's voice is? Look at the example of Jesus in the Bible. What would Jesus do? How did Jesus live? How did Jesus handle that situation? Allow Jesus to be the example. Yes, it's good to have other people in our life that we can respect and we can follow. But how many know ultimately we need to become like Jesus? And as we get into the Word and as we watch and look at how Jesus lived, that's how we hear the voice of the Lord. The voice choice not only is whose voice are we listening to, but secondly, what voice are we speaking with? How many know we have a choice not only as to what we listen to, but we have a choice as to what we say? And how many know not only what we listen to will determine the song of our life, but how many know what we say will determine the song of our life? How many know we do a lot of talking in life? Come on. I don't know what the exact words are or number of words that we speak in a day. But not only are there verbal words that we speak, how many know our body language speaks? Oh, come on. How many know we talk with our body language? When someone says something to us and we go, how many know we didn't say a word, but we sent a message. Our body language, what we say verbally. How about our attitude? Come on. Our attitude is, we speak with our attitude. We speak with the tone of our voice. We speak with what we text, what we tweet, what we email. Can I ask you, what voice are you speaking with? What are you saying with your life? What am I saying with my life? How many know what we say is a reflection of what's in our heart? And it will become what happens into our life and into our heart. Listen, how many understand there's the power of our voice, the power of our tongue? What we say can determine the entire climate. How many know you walk into a room, you walk into your home, you walk into your work situation, you walk in, and how many know immediately what we say, how we act, our body language, what we do, changes or affects the entire climate? I know that on my way home, as I'm heading home, and I'm going to be meeting up with my wife when we get back to the house. I understand that what I'm dealing with and what I'm processing and the things that are there, how many know I have a choice to make? And how many know I could walk into the house, and how many know I have the power to set the tone for a good night or a bad night? How many know I have the power to do that just by my voice? I could go in and decide, go in and just throw something on the thing, oh, just throw my arms up and make a thing, or just go over and say, oh, well, who left this and who did this? And I mean, that'll set the whole night. Or I could walk in and say, you know what, I had a bad day and it's been a tough situation, But I'm going to make a choice that when I go in, I'm going to go in with a smile. I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, you know what? It's been a tough day, but let's have a good night. I have that power. You have that power. How many know I know exactly what I could say to make my wife upset or happy right now? I could turn to her right now. I know exactly how to push her buttons. Come on. And you know what? She knows how to push mine. I know exactly what. How many know I could have came here this morning and I could have decided, I know how to get these people this morning. Come on. I mean, no, I could have said, I'm going to set the tone for this, sir. I knew there were going to be less people here this morning. I knew the weather was going to affect the way we feel today. I knew it was going to, and how many know, I was glad that I had a message that was going to be upbeat. I said, Lord, thank you. Because I would hate to come in here with a voice to say, you know what, you're a bunch of sinners, you're all going to hell, and I'll tell you what, I don't know why you're what you're doing here. That would have went real well, wouldn't it? Instead, I told you about chocolate chip cookies. You see, what voice are we speaking with? We set the tone. We set the climate. How many know even if you have to say something hard and tough, you can still say it with a smile and you could still say it in such a way? Come on. What voice are we speaking with? How do we talk to one another? How do we wonder, do I or don't I? It wasn't here at church. I was actually at a doctor's office, and there was a couple of kids on the floor, and they were playing, and there was parents there, and there was a grandparent there, and they were just talking at each other, and the parent would say, now stop that, and they'd turn and say, shut up to their mother, and grandpa tried to get them, and these kids were, and the woman said that I don't understand why these kids talk away, because that's how they were talking to each other. And I thought, my goodness, some people say, I don't understand why nobody talks nice in our house, do you? What we sow, what we speak sets the tone, sets the climate. Whose voice are we listening to, but whose voice and what voice are we speaking with? How many know the Proverbs, the wisest man that ever lived, said death and life are in the power of our tongue. What we say can either be death or can be life. And listen, those of us, whichever one of those two we love, that's the fruit we will eat. If we don't like the fruit we're eating, change what we're saying. I don't like the fruit in my life right now. I don't like the fruit that's come out of my home right now. I don't like the fruit in my workplace. I don't like the fruit. Then you know what? Change your voice. Make a choice to speak life and not destruction. Because we eat the fruit of what we speak. Oh, Lord, how come or why or, oh, Lord, revive. That's the voice choice. Let's look at the last part of the chapter and look at the second choice. Although, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He will make my feet like hinds feet. I will walk on the high place. The song of Habakkuk was, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How many know there's a difference between happiness and joy? How many know happiness is an outer expression of the inward experience of joy? But happiness is usually based on our circumstance, isn't it? Happiness is based on whether the although is there. Joy, on the other hand, is based on the salvation that we have, not on the circumstance that we have. Prophet said, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. He says, I'm not going to rejoice in the circumstance. I'm not going to rejoice in the all those. I'm not going to go around and say, oh, hallelujah, look at there's no crops in the field. Oh, bless the Lord, the cattle ran out. Really? No, he said, the cattle ran out, there's no crops, yet my salvation and my hope is in the Lord. That's the choice he made. He didn't choose to deny the reality of the all those. It's not faith to go around and say, it isn't there if it is there. Come on. It's faith to say, that's there, but my hope and joy is in my salvation and in the Lord. That's the choice we have to make. That's the choice, the rejoice choice. That's the second choice. It's the rejoice choice. Not only the voice choice, but the rejoice choice. What is the rejoice choice? It's the choice that says, I will. I will. Come on, say, I will. You see, I will is the rejoice choice. I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, the first question is, who will be the source of our joy? Will we determine our joy based on our circumstance or our salvation? Are we going to have a good day because our circumstances were good, or are we going to have a good day because God is good and his salvation is the same no matter what the circumstance? That's a choice I have to make every day. That's a choice we have to make. I can choose to rejoice, I can choose to wallow in my circumstance, or I can choose to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. And then the second, you see, because this is what he says, John 15, 11, Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. You see, when I choose to rejoice in the God of my salvation, Jesus gives me his joy. Not happiness just based on what's happening, but joy based on the fact that Jesus and his salvation is with me. The second question in the rejoice choice is, what will be the strength of our joy? How many know, unless our joy is in our salvation and not our situation, our happiness will be temporary while our joy can be lasting? I love what the prophet Isaiah said. He said in Isaiah 12, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. Therefore, with joy will I draw water from the wells of salvation. Every day we have a choice. Either I will wallow in whining from the wells of circumstance, or I will draw joy and strength from the wells of salvation. What is our strength, and what is the source and strength of our joy? If it's in him and not in the things around us, how many know the things around us can change? You see, happiness says, I will rejoice in the Lord if my circumstance changes. That's what happiness says. If it changes, then I'll rejoice. How many know happiness says, I will rejoice when God changes my circumstance. Then I'm going to be happy. But joy, you know what joy says? Joy says, I'll rejoice despite my circumstances. And joy says, I will rejoice until God changes my circumstance. I'm just going to keep rejoicing until he changes it and despite my circumstance. Although, yet I will. Come on, say, if I will. Say, he will. He will. That's the song of the believer. If I will rejoice in the Lord, then God can raise me up. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will cause me to rise, because it's in him that we live and move. It's in his salvation that we gain strength and joy. I can't muster up enough joy by myself. I can't make myself be positive and happy on my own. I have to find that joy in him. And when I will rejoice in him, and I will find my joy and strength in God, then he will raise me up. He will cause me to ride above the high places. Let me tell you a true story. How many saw the recent movie about Winston Churchill, by the way? Anybody seen that movie? A couple of us I saw. I'm a history person. I love history. And that's why I wanted to see that particular movie. Winston Churchill is one of the key characters and players in world history over the past decades. And Winston Churchill, the leader of Great Britain for a season, at his funeral, he planned his own funeral in advance, and he did something very unique. His wishes were that on one side of the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral would be a bugler. And on that side of the dome, on this side of the dome, the bugler would play the taps. How many have ever been to a funeral and heard the taps, the military salute? And Winston Churchill, as the commander and the leader of the British people, he wanted, and it was his wish, that the taps would be played on one side of the dome by a bugler. I didn't know the words until I looked it up, but taps, basically when you hear that melodious song and music, it says, day is gone, gone the sun, all is well, safely rest, God is nigh. And we know the solemnness and the somberness of the taps. It's very moving, and it's very powerful music. But it has a tone to it that causes us to feel sorrowful and sad and somber. And so Churchill's request was that on one side of the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral, a bugler would play taps. But once the taps was finished, his second request was that on the other side of the dome, he would have another bugler. And on this side of the dome, the bugler would play the reveille. Now, how many have ever heard the reveille? Come on, you've heard the reveille. Reveille is to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up in the morning. You know the reveille. Come on. Hang with me. I'm almost done. What an amazing story, I thought. On one side of the dome, he had them play the taps. Yes, this is a time of sadness. This is a time of passing. This is a time of sorrow. It's a time to rest, and God is nigh. But then, immediately after that, the bugler on the other side said, it's also time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. How many know that's the song of the believer? Aren't you glad that this isn't all there is? Aren't you glad that we don't have to go through life just playing taps? Listen, there's a time for taps. I've been there, you've been there. Matter of fact, February 25th, less than 2 months ago, at my dad's funeral at the cemetery, the military played taps in honor of his service to the Air Force. And it was moving, and it was sorry. But how many know in my heart, I know it's time to get up because he's not there. He's not in that grave. He's not in that tomb. I don't need to worry about because he got up. He got up in the morning. And listen, weeping, weeping, weeping endures for an evening. Taps. But listen, joy. Come on, joy. I will rejoice. Joy comes in the morning. And can I say to you today, no matter what your circumstance is today, and maybe you're hearing taps in your head and in your heart, maybe the song of your life right now is taps, and you feel like you've just wallowed in it. You feel like you're just full of sorrow. You're just full of somberness. You feel so down and discouraged. Maybe right now the song of your life is taps. Can I suggest to you, start singing a new song today. And the new song is reveille. The new song is it's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up because it's morning. Listen, Jesus, for 3 days, the song around the tomb would have been taps. But how many know when they came to the tomb on the third day, the angel was playing reveille because it's time to get up. It's time to get up. Listen, I'm not minimizing your hurt today. I'm not minimizing your although. Everybody here has an although. Come on, let's be honest. Everybody here is dealing with an although. But today we have a choice. Just like the prophet. Yet I will rejoice. I will choose to listen to the voice of God. I will choose to speak with the voice of God. I will choose to rejoice. And I will choose to find my joy and strength, not in my circumstance, but in my salvation. Because today I choose to trust the Lord. Can I ask you, will you make that choice? The song of your life can change today. It's not a coincidence you're here. It's not God wanted you to know that he wants to give you a new song today. We used to sing an old hymn that used to say, a song of praise and hallelujah, a new song, a song of praise and hallelujah. I want God to turn your song of discouragement and defeat into a song of victory. Come on, stand with me a moment. Listen, it's time to get up, so get up with me. Stand up with me. I want you to lift a hand toward heaven as an act of worship, as an act of surrender. Forget about everybody that's going on, everything that's going on. Forget about the time. It's still early. It's not even 10 minutes to 12. It's a miracle. Just take a moment. The next 2 moments could be the most important 2 moments of your life. Today is the day of decision. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day your circumstance turns into salvation. Today is the day that your Lord, how come and why turns into Lord, revive me. Lord, remember me. Listen, if you need a new song today, just lift your hand as an act of worship. Lift your heart, close your eyes a moment. And say, I choose today to rejoice in the Lord. I choose to hear the voice of the Lord through this pastor today. I choose to hear the voice of the scripture today that's come preached from this pulpit today. I choose to listen to the voice of God. And I'm going to start speaking with the voice of the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord today. Come on, with your hand raised as an act of worship, I want to pray with us. Come on, just lift your hand a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every circumstance, every life. You know the song of every heart. And Lord, I'm asking you that as we make a choice to rejoice in you, we don't feel like it, we don't see the change yet, we don't know, but we choose to rejoice in you. We choose to trust you today. By lifting your hand as an act, say, Lord, I'm trusting you right now. I'm putting my trust and my hope in you, not in my circumstance. I'm not going to listen to all the other voices. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to trust you today.